You're listening to the Christy G Podcast with me, your host, Christy G. Here I sit and talk with some of the most funny, talented, and inspiring people on the planet. So sit back and enjoy this newest episode. Hey guys! Episode 13 is here, and I am talking with my friend Tom Wisniewski of MX Freakin' PX. If you know me at all, you know MXPX is by far one of my favorite bands. I go back to the 1990s. I was about to say 1900s, which technically is true. That is weird. But yeah, we go back to the 1900s. And I've interviewed both Tom and Mike for my blog over the years, and they're just really great people. And I'm so happy that I was able to have him on the show. We answer y'all's burning Facebook questions, and we talk about some silly questions I asked him 7 years ago, and we compare his answers then and now, and it gets really funny. And also, when I was editing, you know, I'm like super listening to like everything I say, and I realize if you're into alcohol or drinking games, I'm not really right now. I'm actually on day 29 of no booze, but if you're into that kind of thing, especially now that people are just kind of quarantined to their houses, if you want to play this drinking game, take a shot anytime I say, "That's so awesome," "That's fun," or "Very cool." Because apparently I say it so much and I was laughing to myself. I'm like, oh my lord, I didn't realize I said those things. Because it really was awesome and it was fun and it really was cool, the things that we talked about. But anyhow, you can play with like soda too. Just make it fun. Anyhow, it'll be fun. See, I'm saying fun again. All right, let's move on. But yeah, so we answer some of your Facebook questions and go back to the 7 years ago when I interviewed him for my blog and talk about that. It gets really silly. We add three songs to the podcast soundtrack. Two of them are his choice. One is mine. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun and I am really pumped. So I know you guys want to hear Tom and not me rambling nonsense right now. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Tom from MXPX. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
I don't know why I'm so giggly.
All good.
So Tom is an MXPX. Duh, we all know this information. And he's up in Bremerton still, right?
I sure am. Yeah. Still up in Bremerton.
Nice. Very cool. I need to make it up there sometime. I've been to Seattle once. That's as close as I've gotten.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Just Bremerton's a much smaller town.
Nice. Cool. So I interviewed Tom for my blog, which is 7 years ago, and that's insane. How 7 years has gone by so fast. Can you believe it 7 years ago?
Yeah, that's insane.
Isn't that weird? I didn't realize till today that it's been 7 years. That is crazy. But so I'm going to talk to you a lot about that because I asked you some super silly questions in. But first, I am going to talk to you about your band and Tom, of course. So first of all, I just want to say that I saw you guys playing Anaheim, was it like 2 or 3 months ago? And that was freaking good. You guys are amazing.
Oh, with Rehasher and
with the Ataris. Yeah, wow. Yeah, I was there. And I'm sure you hear this a lot, but it's like you guys are like this little time capsule, right? And I can like go back in time, but you guys sound better and better every time I hear you. So I just wanted to let you know.
Great. Thank you.
So freaking good.
We try.
Yeah. You do really, really good. Yeah, and then you guys went and played San Antonio. Is it the weekend? Last weekend? Weekend before last?
Yeah. Weekend before last, we played Denver and San Antonio. Yeah. So Denver on Friday, San Antonio on Saturday.
Nice. I'm from Texas. Yeah. So my goal was to, like, go home and go to that show because everyone and their dog was at that show. Like, my cousin was there. My aunt was there. It was really funny. Of course, Jared Scott was there,
Yeah, Jerry was there with us now.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
I was making
That show in San Antonio was really fun. Sorry, what?
Oh, no, go ahead. Perfect. Go ahead.
I was saying that show in San Antonio was really fun because there was no barricade, and we were talking about it before the show. We were like, what do we do? Like, do we, you know, before we even got there, they were like, do you want to barricade or not? And we were like, let's see. Like, Mike and I both have cracked front teeth from microphones and people flying across the front and all that. And we were like, you know what? Screw it, whatever. No barricade.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now,
so it was fun. Everyone was right in our faces and everything. And it was kind of an old school show. It was good.
That's awesome. And is that a place called the Paper Tiger, right?
Yeah.
Was that the original White Rabbit? Do you know that? I feel like you would
Yeah,
know.
It used to be the White Rabbit.
That's crazy. That's how long it's been since I've been home for a show. I didn't even know that the White Rabbit didn't exist anymore. But I first saw you guys play at the White Rabbit in 1998.
I remember being there. We played there a lot.
Yeah, you did. I feel like I saw you there a couple times at least, like back in my youthful days. I was really bummed to watch everyone's like Insta stories because I was like super happy for them they got to be there. But I was like, God, I wanted to go. Anyhow, next time.
A little bit of jealousy, a little fear of missing out.
Yeah, exactly. FOMO is real.
Yeah.
Acronyms. So anyhow, so you guys, and then you're playing Salt Lake City next. I'm trying to keep up, right? Salt Lake City.
Yeah. So yeah, April 10th and 11th will be in Salt Lake City, and that's always fun because I hate flying. So being able to play the same city twice is great. Plus, whenever we have to like play somewhere like Denver Friday and Salt Lake or in San Antonio Saturday.
Yeah.
You have to get up crazy early and get on like the first flight out of town and everything. It just makes for a really long day.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is because the San Antonio show was on leap day, right? So I remember thinking like, the 29th, it seemed like I forgot that there wasn't a gap between Friday and Saturday. I think the leap day thing threw me off. And I was like, this is a back-to-back show. That's insane that you guys did that. It was like a Friday, Saturday. Yeah. I was like, geez.
It's what we usually do.
Oh, you do? Man, see?
Yeah.
I'm not paying attention. Sorry, Tom.
Sorry.
Okay, cool. So we're all caught up on the current MXPX stuff. So like I said, I reached out to Facebook, and I have some questions that are super band related. Some of them don't make sense to me. I'm hoping they'll make sense to you because it seems like they're a little personal. Okay. So I'll get to those. But there's someone named Justin Lee, and he asked me a bunch of questions, but I'm going to narrow them down to ones I think that are pretty fun to answer. His first one is, what record has changed your life? It doesn't have to be MXPX. Any record.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sure, MXPX records changed my life, but no, I mean, that's not where I went first. I would say The Descendants' Liveage.
Mm-hmm.
It's their live record. It's the first punk record I ever heard.
Aww.
It just, I was listening to, like, Pearl Jam and Metallica at the time, and you know, I still like those bands and all that, but like all of a sudden I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this magic? And I mean, just the way they played, and I was playing drums at the time, not really in a band yet, but I was just listening to them just bust through songs one after the other, and they were just so good and so tight, and it was so poppy, and like I was instantly like singing along with it. I was just like, oh, what is this? This is amazing.
That's awesome. How old were you then?
It would have been ninth grade, so it's probably like 14 or 15.
That's cute. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow, fun. Okay, he wants to also know which favorite MXPX album that you've had the most fun working on.
Most fun working on. That changes it, because, you know, usually your favorite record's the latest one, because we just did it.
Yeah.
Like, we put our heart into this one recently, but most fun working on. Oh, man. I'd probably have to say Every Passing Moment.
Awesome.
Because we were living down in L.A., and we were recording with Jerry Finn, and it was the first time we ever did a record where we took a day off. Like, we actually were, like, planning, like, hey, we have Saturday, or we have Sunday off. Like, we're not working on Sundays. And we were living in these apartments called the Oakwoods that are just over the hill from Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone in a band knows what I'm talking about with that place, everyone stays there.
That's awesome.
It's like furnished apartments, so it's like extended stay. So we lived up there, and then we had a rental car from the label. It was on the album budget. And for like $5 more a week, we ended up going to Rent-A-Wreck, and we got a 1970 Impala convertible. And it was, I mean, when I say that, everyone's like, wow, that's a really nice car. This was not a nice car.
It wasn't like a refurbished. Total...
No, it was junky as all get up. The thing was, It had character.
Yeah.
And it was a convertible, and we were in LA, and with that day off, we'd go cruise around, like, me and Mike and our buddy Neil that used to tour with us a bunch, and we would just go cruise around LA and, like, you know, top down, just like, just loving life. I think, 99, we were probably like 21, 22.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time.
That's so fun. Do you currently, do you have an older car that you own now?
I did, but I got rid of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a newer car and I didn't drive it for like a year. And a friend of mine from work was just like, "Hey man, when you sell me that car?" And he asked me all the time. And one day I was like, "Make me an offer." He made me a good offer, and I was sad to see it drive away, but it went to a good home where they're going to use it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. Fun. He also wants to know, what other hobbies do you have other than playing music?
A bit of woodworking.
Oh, really?
I like, I like messing with wood.
Cool. Like Ron Swanson.
Like what? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've seen one of his stand-ups called Paddle Your Own Canoe.
Uh-huh.
And he talks a lot in there about woodworking up front. It's good.
That's awesome.
Fully agree with his, like, life philosophy on it.
Totally.
Yeah, so woodworking's been something I did it a bunch when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my dad did it a lot, and my mom did a lot, and just I would help out with them and just kind of got into it. Then recently I just kind of got back into it.
That's fun. I have a friend that started making, like, wooden bowls, and he, like, loves it. And I'm like, that looks really fun. And I joke that he's, like, my Ron Swanson friend, too. Like, are you going to make me a chair? Like, but that's cool. Very cool. Now, I know you love football, too, and are you, like, a big video game kind of guy still?
Not so much in the video games anymore. But yeah, still football. I mean, I got to renew my season tickets for the Seahawks. They've been emailing me asking for money for like a week.
That's fun. I didn't know you did season tickets. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. They're super hard to get. And me and, my buddy Randy Torres from Project 86, mm-hmm. we were on the waiting list for a couple of years, and he was, and then he finally got in and he was like, "Hey man, you want to split these tickets to me?" I'm like, "Hell yeah." So he and I had tickets together for a bunch of years, and then he moved down to LA and I took him over. So now I got a pair, and it's one of those things where you can't get them. Like, the waiting list is 80,000 people deep.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Are you going to be like the Jack Nicholson of the Seahawks?
I mean, I wish I was sitting courtside.
One day you will be. You'll make your way down there, and every time you're on TV, you're like, "Oh, there's Tom, just sitting there."
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool. That's the one thing that bummed me out about living in LA is I used to go to, I love the Spurs. And so I would always go watch the games in Texas. Yeah. And out here, they're so expensive. Like, especially, you know, now, especially the Clippers. Yeah, and the Clippers used to be really bad. So you could go watch them play really cheap. And now it's like, well, not everyone's expensive.
Yeah. Now they're good. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know I'm not a big football person. Like, I try to understand it. I have a hard time understanding. I know it's like getting the ball from one end to the other, but all the in-between rules, I get so confused. But I know they built the Rams stadium out here, and all my football friends are like super pumped. I'm like, everyone gets so frustrated with me during football season because I'll try to watch the game and I ask too many questions, and they're finally I just stopped trying to interact because they're like, "Just shut up, Christy. We're trying to enjoy the game."
Yeah.
But I want to learn it. But anyhow.
Funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
we went to a game, like all of us in the band went to a game one time up here. And we were going to the game, and Yuri, like, he likes it, but he's not like super into it.
Mm-hmm.
But he asked me on the way in the game, he's like, "Hey, Tom, what does the running back do?" And I'm like, "Oh man, Yuri, come on." It was funny. I kind of made fun of him about it. I'm like, "So Yuri, he runs the ball from the backfield. The running back." And he's like, "Yeah, I kind of figured that's what it was." I felt super right when it was coming out of my mouth.
I'm
like, "It's all good, man. It's all good."
I feel like I have a kindred spirit in him in that way.
There you go.
Speaking of Yuri, my landlord's name is Uri, and I call him Yuri all the time, and I think he thinks something's wrong with me. Like, my brain...
Uri?
His name is Uri, but I call him Yuri. And I'm like, "Oh, no, that's not your name." And he's probably like, "Why are you putting a Y in front of my name?" I'm like, "I can't explain this to him." He's like this little old Jewish man. It's really cute. But I'm like, "Hey, Yuri." He's like, "That's not my name." I'm like, "Dang it." Anyhow.
It is now.
It's your official new name. Okay. Speaking of like just people, like I know you love sports and musicians and bands. He also wants to know, what is one person that you've totally geeked out on? Like actor, musician, anything like that.
I mean, I fully geeked out, but I kept my cool when I met Joe Strummer.
Oh, yeah.
That was a pretty big one for me, just being a huge Clash fan. We opened for him summer of 99 in San Francisco at, like, my favorite club in America. It's called the Fillmore. It's just a beautiful old hall, and, like, it's got tons of history, like, the whole, like, San Francisco, like, acid tests and all that stuff. That's, like, that's all that place, and, like, it's just got really cool history, and it's a beautiful place, and we got to open for Joe Strummer there on his first U.S. tour at the Mescaleros. And we were standing in our dressing room, which is right down back next to the stage. The headliner dressing room is upstairs, mm-hmm. and the openers are downstairs. So we're standing in our dressing room right after we play, and we're just chilling, like, you know, sweating and all that. And, like, right before the band goes on, we see all these other guys come down. Then Joe just, like, walks downstairs and pops in our dressing room, and he's like, "Hey, you guys did great." I'm like, shook his hand. I'm like, "Oh, my God, Joe Strummer." Yeah, but I was like, "Oh, thanks, man. I'm stoked to see you play and all that." Kept it cool.
That's
but, I mean,
awesome.
It was definitely, when he walked in, I was like, "Oh, my God, there he is."
I just did a podcast with my friend, and we were talking about, like, meeting people, and then there's, like, a list of people you're afraid to meet because you're afraid you're going to be disappointed in them.
Right.
And I'm glad that you didn't have that experience with, like, one of your favorite people, because that would just be horrible. But luckily,
yeah,
he was great.
Yeah, I mean, you know? that whole never meet your heroes thing, no, he was great.
Aw, that's awesome. I love that. Okay, so
there's
someone named David Lexon that wants to know the best interaction you've ever had with a crowd.
Oh, man, that's hard. I mean, you get lots of really good crowds. And I want to say maybe one that sticks out in my head was we played this festival in Japan called Summer Sonic back in 2001. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, a few months after Everlasting Moment came out. And it's one of these big Japanese summer festivals. It was in a baseball stadium, like a huge one.
Wow.
And we went on at, like, noon. We were, like, the second band on, so we didn't really expect much. We got out on stage, and the place was full to, like, the very top. Like, everyone was there. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
And just remember, they were very – the Japanese fans get really into, like the kind of sing-along participation, like, clapping along type things. And they just, like – they were just really about it. And then the fact that there were so many of them doing it just was mind blowing.
That's crazy. Was it like, I always wonder in like moments like that, people in bands, do they think back to when they first started? Like in that moment, like how did this happen?
Like, oh yeah, full on.
Like such a cool feeling, I bet.
So I had like a moment there. Like I was remembering watching there's like Guns N' Roses live in Europe or somewhere on MTV back in like the early 90s. And I remember they were playing some big festival and Slash did this thing where he went to one side of the stage, like way out on the wings in front of the PA.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just ran from one side to the other while he was playing. And I was like, oh my God, that looks so fun. And then I realized during that show, I'm like, I could totally do that here.
Awesome. Did you?
So we were doing, I fully did. Like, I'm not going to miss that opportunity. So we were playing punk rock shows, the last song, and on the last chorus, you just hit a big hit. Bam, like, we ain't got no place to go. As soon as I hit that first hit, I just started sprinting across the stage, like, top speed, as fast as I could run.
That's fun.
And then when we get to the middle part of it, you're going to see a punk rock band. Boom, it would do another big hit. I, like, literally ran and jumped up and, like, slammed down right at the other end on the other wing, right when that popped up. So that was a really fun one for me.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have footage of that anywhere?
So that show is on YouTube. Mm. That particular bit about me running around, I don't know.
Oh, wow. That would be fun to watch.
Yeah, but you can definitely look up on YouTube. Just type in MXPX Summer Sonic 2001. It's there.
Awesome. Very cool. This next question is not something I understand, but hopefully you will. Thomas Duncan asks, do you remember how annoying the crowd was when Arthur played Tom Fest in 1999? Does that make sense?
Annoying?
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
not really, honestly.
Okay,
I
don't know if that was like a sarcastic or funny. I was like, is this a real thing? Like,
I mean, they could have been yelling out MXPX songs or something. I don't know.
Okay, cool. So obviously it wasn't that annoying, Thomas Duncan.
It wasn't as traumatic as he might think it is. So... No, I don't remember it, and we're all good.
Okay, good.
If he was one of the ones yelling, we're all good.
Awesome. He also wanted to know what the worst crowd experience that you can remember.
Crowd experience. Oh, yeah, there was actually a really good one. So, back, I want to say maybe, like, I was maybe, like, 1995 or 6, we opened for the Queers in Seattle. And it was a super last-minute thing. Like, we weren't actually on the bill the whole time. And so we go out on stage, right? You know, it was, Mr. T Experience and the Queers was the show. And so we go out and we set up and we go on, we set up and we start playing. And like, even while we're set up, people are like, what is this? You know, we could tell the vibe was weird. So we get out and we start playing and we start playing. Everyone just starts like booing and throwing stuff at us. And we're like still kids, you know, like local band on it. We're just like, we're like, what the hell? And, about halfway through the show, someone pulled the fire alarm in the club. Wow. Yeah. So power goes off on stage, you know, and then the monitor comes up and goes, hey, someone pulled the power alarm or the fire alarm. Power goes off automatically. It's just the thing. We're going to get it turned back on. It's going to be about 5 minutes and the power will be back on and you guys can keep playing. I'm like, okay. So Mike comes over. He's like, dude, it's going so bad. Should we stop? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Screw them. We're going to keep playing. So power comes on. Lights go back up. He starts working again. I grab the mic and I go, oh, power's back on. You're so screwed now. We're going to keep playing.
Yeah. Dang.
Then we played. So yeah, but it was one of those ones where it's very adversarial.
Yeah. Cool. Here's another, I think I may understand this, judging from one of your Instagram posts, but Brandon Daly wants to know why you don't want to come to Salt Lake City.
So we found the Dwarf song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, this is perfect. This is absolutely, like, this is great. But then we were like, we have to find a way to work. I don't want to go to Salt Lake City, or I'm not going to Salt Lake City, into the promo somehow. And Mike was like, Tom, I think you have to do it. You're too nice. So I'm like, maybe that's fine. So we did most promo stuff, and we kept just saying, I'm not going to Salt Lake City. And then it would, you know, the idea was it would cut to that, and maybe a big thing, just goes with the cover, and, you know, suffice to say, I'm excited about the show, but
awesome.
For the promo and all that, there, I had to pretend.
Okay, so you really do want to go to Salt Lake City?
I really do. Okay, I want to go good. So bad, I'm going to go twice.
Awesome. So all the Salt Lake City fans, don't worry. Tom really wants to be there.
And I will be there, yeah.
Okay, one of the last Facebook questions is, when are we getting some vinyl represses or a box set?
Man, that's a really complicated question.
Mm.
The short answer is not anytime soon.
Okay.
It's just hard. Yeah. We've been on so many labels.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so coordinating between everyone is just next to impossible.
That's true. I feel like I should know this question, being the interviewer, but are you guys on a label right now?
We do it ourselves.
Okay, awesome.
On our own, yeah. Awesome. So the new one, Kickstarter, we just did it on our own.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The fans are our label.
I love that. That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
One last thing. A lot of people, I don't know how to ask this question because there's so many, but a lot of people just wanted to basically know about what gear you use. So if you could, like, shout out the gear you use for us.
Definitely. So for a guitar, I have a 1956 Les Paul Junior. Mm-hmm. So bought that because I had a friend over the years just telling me how great vintage guitars were. I'm like, oh man, yeah, I play loud and distorted. You know, it doesn't really matter. Like, I used to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played in Nashville a couple years ago. We went to a vintage guitar shop, and I'd been thinking about it. Like, hey, this might be kind of cool to check out. So went to a vintage guitar shop, and I played a 50s Les Paul Junior, and I was just like, oh, the wood is old. And it sings differently.
Interesting.
So it was one of those things where we're just like, oh my God, I think I have to get one.
Aww.
You know, like, this is really cool. I get it.
So you fell in love with that type.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I went out and I spent about a year looking for one. I found a good one finally for a good price and bought it. I mean, getting into a piece of 1950s wood with Gibson is not cheap, so Junior's the way to do it.
Very cool.
So then for amps, so we're sponsored by Orange, so we play those a lot.
Okay.
when I can get them for live shows, I play an Orange Dual Dark. It's a two-channel Orange amp, and I love it. It just sounds great. Usually when I play an amp that I've never played before, I usually just set all the volume, tone, everything just straight up, you know, at noon and try to go from there as a good starting point. Mm-hmm. And the first time I played a Dual Dark, it just sounded really good right there with everything straight up. And I was like, wow. Okay, well, it's got to be, you know, like, okay, I can probably get it to sound better. And I kept tweaking with it, and I just kept going back to, nope, the other way is better, the other way. So I literally got to where I just had it, everything straight up. And a buddy of ours, actually, he's playing less than Jake, Scott Darren. He's actually their rep for America, and he came to our show in Atlanta. He was hanging out. I was like, dude, you got to see this. And I showed him. I'm like, I just play everything straight up. He's like, wow, it's crazy. Like, yeah, because no one ever does that.
Wow.
It's always something to always tweak one way or the other. So I said, I play those when I can, when we get them on the road. If I can't get those, like a Marshall JCM-800 or a Marshall GMP, you're always, you know, good backups. I mean, they're consistently awesome.
Very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And then I got a
Oh, no. I'm really bad at cutting people off because I can't see your face. So I apologize.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah, it's all no, good.
Totally keep going.
No, so I was going to say, then I also have a bunch of pedals. So I got, you know, like Chorus that I play on Friday Tonight a lot, and anything that's clean usually. Overdrive pedal just for like any sort of like lead riffy stuff. I got a fuzz on there for the end of Let's Ride. It's really kind of heavy with fuzz. I got a phase on there that I throw on here and there, just kind of give it like a kind of spacey sound, and then a delay on there too for just like some fun things I do between songs and stuff like that.
So I'm always so impressed and so like I don't know how to explain it, but I wish I had that musical talent, because like to hear you just like naturally be like, oh, I have this for this part of the song, like trying to remember like when to hit a pedal or turn up. I'm like, that's amazing to me. I don't have that brain at all.
Sometimes I'm at the other side of the stage and I have to run for it, like to hit something.
Wow. Super impressive. And you're like self-taught too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I never really took guitar lessons. It's just, you know, like Mike showed me some things and some other friends of ours showed me things and just kind of learned as I went. Listened to like Green Day, you know, Descendants, Bad Religion records, you know, just figuring them out.
That's really cool. Do you ever, I always think like, what if story? So do you ever think like, what if you never would have met Mike and Yuri, or never would have heard a certain record, like how your life would be so different today?
I'd probably still be a drummer.
Okay.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I played this MXPX was the first band I played guitar in.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd probably still be a drummer somewhere.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I randomly will think about that. Like things like, obviously I'm not like, it's like funny things. So I think I've never ice skated in my life. So I'm like, what if I'm like this really great ice skater and I have no idea? I could have been in the Olympics.
Right.
Obviously, that's not going to happen now. But I think about little things like that all the time. Anyhow, it's really weird. Okay, so speaking of weird, I asked you some silly questions 7 years ago. And I thought it would be kind of fun to revisit some of those. Some of them are more sillier than others. But and I'm going to read the answers that you gave me and see if they're different now.
Well, you don't want to compare, like ask me a question and then
I like that idea better, actually. That's great.
Yeah, so I think I should answer and then you should tell me what I said back then.
Okay, perfect. Okay, here's the first one. If you could pick any superpower, which would you pick and what would you do with it?
Oh, man. I'm sure I said flight because I'd love to be able to fly. So what did I say back then?
You said flying. It says flying is pretty typical, but you would fly.
It is. I mean, it's very much like that first one that everyone says. But,
yeah.
I mean, just think how great it'd be if you're like, oh, I got to run to the mall, and you just like walked out your front door and just flew there.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
That would be
Or like where we live in Seattle, like, you know, you have to take a ferry that takes like an hour, or you have to drive around this whole water and go across the bridge and everything. But it usually takes about an hour to get to Seattle. But we're only like, I think, 7 miles, 10 miles from Seattle.
Oh, my gosh.
You know how quickly I could fly there?
I got to read. Now I have to totally read what you said. It's almost exactly what you just said. You said, flying is pretty typical, but I imagine if you could fly, it would be amazing. I would use it to get places. Like, oh, we got to go to a show in Montreal. No problem. I'll fly there myself. It would also be so cool, too, because where we live, you have to take an hour-long ferry ride to Seattle, but it's only like 10 miles, so I could just fly over. And what a time saver, too. No more traffic. But you would get bugs in your teeth, though.
Wow. So I went to the exact same story about flying to Seattle and everything. Oh, my God.
Isn't that strange? That's funny. All right. I like this one, too. If you were the subject of a tabloid magazine, what would it say about you, or what would you like it to say about you?
What would it say about me? Mm-hmm. Jeez. Probably like world's most boring human discovered. What would I want it to say?
Yeah.
God, I don't even know. Let's see if we can go super topical for right now. Like, you know, world-renowned scientist tells us he discovers coronavirus vaccine.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. There we go. I'm sure I didn't say that one back then.
No. The first one was pretty close. The first one was perfect, actually. You said, I think what it would should say, or what it would, wait, sorry. I think what it would say would be world's most boring man discovered, or something like that.
Oh, my God. But what would I am very typical.
This is a good one, though. But what I would like it to say is Tom Wisniewski throws Super Bowl winning touchdown.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'd be a good one, too.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. Okay. If Hollywood made a movie about your life, who would you like to see play the part of you?
Ooh, jeez. So who would I like to see? Well, someone hot, obviously. Like, you know, Chris Hemsworth or, like, Brad Pitt or something. But who would probably play them, me, honestly? So, like, I remember when I was growing up, The Wonder Years was a big show, and
yeah.
Fred Savage and I had a similar thing, so I think, if we were being honest here in casting, I'd probably get Fred Savage, you know.
That's fun. Your answer then was, I've really liked Tom Hardy lately. After I saw him in Bronson, I was like, oh my gosh, this guy's ridiculously amazing, and not that you would have to be that great of an actor to act out my life, but I think he would be a fun one, but not Tom Hardy all muscled out, because that wouldn't really be right for me. Plus, his name is already Tom, so that would be an easy one for him.
I do love Tom Hardy. My God, he's such a good actor.
Yeah, that's a good, I like that pick, too.
Good.
Okay, here's one. If you could go back to when you were a teenager and was just starting MXPX, what would you tell yourself, what's one thing you would tell yourself?
Probably, and I'm trying not to think of like what I said and pop it, I swear. But probably like, you know, hey, sit down and practice more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could stand to be a better guitarist.
Awesome. Back then you said, that's a tough one, probably practice more.
Oh my God.
You also said, be more aware of the access you give people and to you and your money. And that's a pretty big one. We definitely learned a few hard lessons along the way.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah?
Oh, man.
Do you have a story about that?
Typical stories of, you know, young kids in bands getting ripped off by managers and record labels and booking agents and anyone that can take a cut.
Yep, which is why what you're doing now is, like, awesome with the Kickstarter.
Yeah, Kickstarter. That was really fun, too, just because we got to make it on our own. You know, we'd kind of done that before, but we knew like this is fully on our own, like no one's helping us here, and like it had been a long time, and we were like, you know, when we started talking about doing the record, honestly, Mike was like, hey, I got some songs, what do you think? I'm like, we should practice them and record them, we're a band, that's what bands do. I'm like,
yeah,
how is this even a question? But he was just like, guys, you know, it's been a long time, I'm like, dude, who cares, who we're at.
Wow, that's awesome. That's so fun.
Yeah,
that's very cool. Dang, I love that. That's something not easy, obviously, to do, but it's definitely an option that you wouldn't have had 20 years ago. To just like, hey, let's just go to the fans and let them like make the decisions, you know, kind of.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, record labels back then, you know, they had you because they had all the money to rent for a studio and production and all that stuff, and now you can pretty much get it up front.
That's really fun. That's cool.
Yeah,
I love that. All right, so here's another question from the past. What is your guilty pleasure?
Well, if this lines up with what I said back then, then it's going to be pretty obvious if you still get photos of me, but I mean, I love food.
Okay.
Food. Like I like good food. I like cooking and
awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you look at pictures of me from 7 years ago versus now, you might be able to tell. Oh yeah, you totally eat, you can tell.
What's your favorite?
Probably Thai. I love Thai food. It's so good. Oh man.
I never had Thai food until I moved to California. And I was like, I was really excited when I found it.
Do you like it?
I love it. Yeah. It's really good.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
Okay. So your answer from 7 years ago is very different though. You put real cheesy pop music. Katy Perry's last record is amazing. I have heard Katy Perry described as white man's kryptonite.
Yeah.
Do you still like her a lot?
Unfortunately, not so much of the new stuff, but like that record California Dream was just amazing.
That's fun.
Pop hits left and right.
That's awesome. I think next week on the podcast, my friend Josh, who was currently is her bass player and Miley Cyrus's bass player, but he's known Katy since the beginning. Like he's been in her band since the beginning. And it's so funny. Like, to see how she's evolved. She really is a lot of fun. I always say if I could be a pop star, like just her colors and her brightness and I don't think I asked you all my silly ones. But yeah, I love how you're very spot on almost. Some of those.
I know, geez. I mean, apparently I haven't changed much.
I love that though. That's awesome. I have
that
to
keeps up the world's most boring man thing.
Yeah. I love that. That was fun. It seems too, like, not really judging from these answers, but like, well, yeah, kind of. Like, you love food, and you're kind of just kind of who you are, and you kind of stay who you are. But also, it seems like you like older cars, you like older guitars. Would you say you're kind of like an old soul, in a way?
I guess, yeah. A little bit. I mean, you know, I like going out and having fun with everyone, but at the same time, I'm like, I could just chill, too, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the old cars and the old guitars and all that, it's just like, there's just something about them. They just made them differently back then, you know? And
totally.
It still holds up. And it's just, it's that feeling of nostalgia too. When you grab them, like, I mean, when I grabbed that guitar, that guitar is 20 years older than me.
That's
and
wild.
I mean, it's just like, yeah. And I mean, like, but I get out there and I play some songs on it and some style on it that no one probably ever intended with those things. And it just works though.
That's fun. That thing could talk, like the stories it could tell.
Oh, man, yeah.
About that kind of thing. I always think it'd be fun to write a children's book, and every now and then I'm like, oh, maybe now I'll write a children's book about a guitar who's been in different bands and all the things that he's played.
That's pretty cool.
Right? Huh.
Yeah, good idea.
Right? Maybe we could co-author it together.
Yeah.
You can help me with the guitar lingo.
Yeah, I'll be your technical advisor.
Yeah. That's fun. One of the questions, too, I talked to you about tattoos, and during that time, you were getting, my brain's not working right now, but you were getting, like, the scene on your leg, and it was, like, with the cats and the dogs or something, or, no, that's currently, what? The scene on your leg. My brain is not working, because I didn't write this down. It's, like an apocalyptic scene, maybe?
I mean, that's current, yeah. I'm working on this, Yeah, this kind of like robot cats and robot dogs.
That's
and like
what it
some
was.
Sort of like dystopian future thing.
Okay. So I'm trying to think. I think that's what I was thinking of recently. Because you just put, not currently, like yesterday, but you've been adding cats and dogs to it. And, but it's been the same tattoo artist. I think that's where my brain is, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I've been going to my friend Katie's been tattooing me since like the late 90s.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you have a lot. I'm sure you know that by now.
I've noticed, yes.
You're quite the collector. Like, I've met people kind of through, like, social media especially, but, like, I have two MXPX tattoos just because you guys are, like, my first love in music, you know? And do you have any that represent bands or just people that you looked up to in that world? Do you have anything for them?
Yeah. So I have a descendant's Milo. Milo from the cover of Milo Goes to College with a little tie on.
Yeah.
So I have that one kind of up, kind of like near my armpit, my right arm. What other band-based ones do I have? So I have a little like teddy bear looking thing with a drumsticks in his hand, holding or wearing a Newfound Glory shirt, says NFG on it.
That's fun.
Because yeah, so Jordan and Cyrus and my buddy Brian was doing merch from that time. It was kind of for all three of them because they all three had MXPX tattoos.
Fun.
And so, you know, NFG obviously with the band for Jordan, drumsticks for Cyrus, and then my friend Brian's a big old bear. So I added a bear for him.
That's great. Aw, that's fun. Do you have, like,
yeah.
I have, like, one or two that I'm kind of like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have gotten that. Do you have any of those?
Not really. Oh, I lucky. Mean, like, what good is regretting it?
Yeah, mine are bad. I think I'd just rather, like, move them. I was like, God, I wish I could, like, put this in a different spot. Like, and I can't. Like, I gotta, rearrange them now. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah, no, they're not moving. They're stuck.
That's fun. What is, like, your favorite one that you have? If you can pick.
That's hard. Maybe my back, just because it's so big. It's this huge owl holding like a skull and just like a lady's head in it too. And it's just, there's a really cool thing. I basically told my artist, Katie, I said, my entire back is clear. I don't ever want to see my back again.
Nice.
I want you to cover every inch of it.
That's fun. That's cool. Do you give her like a lot of, like, do you just kind of give her an idea and just let her run with it?
Absolutely, yeah. She's the artist.
Her.
I mean,
that's awesome.
Yeah, like I trust her implicitly. I would just sit down and be like, "Do some good on me," and she would amaze me.
That's amazing. My guy actually just moved to Salt Lake City, and I'm like, "Dang it, he's gone." So I know it's hard when you find people you trust, and you're like, "Oh, great," because it's like scary to start over with someone new. So
yeah, seriously,
I should just go to Salt Lake City and just make a weekend of it and let him.
There you go. Make a weekend, get tattooed.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, I've never been there. That'd be cool. Put that in my mind. Yeah. Especially right now. It's cool, like super cheap to fly. I could just get a flight for like 10 bucks.
I mean, flights are getting ridiculously cheap because the airlines are like, we need to do something to make money.
I know. It's so like bizarre. It's weird.
Hello, friends of Christy G. Chazzle Dazzle here from the Trial by Air Variety Show podcast. I just wanted to take a few seconds to invite you guys over to what we do. Much like the show, we conduct interviews with some of the most unique and interesting people on the planet. We dig deep into their souls and find really cool stories to tell you, and there's tons of music every week, so subscribe to us wherever you subscribe to your podcast. We look forward to having you.
Cool, so let's fast forward through all this time, and currently you work with the ships, right? I don't know the technical name for your job, but with the Navy ships.
Yeah, shipyard.
Shipyard, that's the word. Cool.
Yep.
I actually reached out to my friend, I don't know if you remember meeting my friend Matt many years ago. He has like red hair, curly hair.
I don't know.
I know you ran into him because you're like, I met this guy who knows you today. And he's like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's been a while. But I asked him if he worked, and he's like, oh, no, he works in, like, the office now or something. And I was like, oh, because I was going to tell him to give you a high five. But.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, no, I definitely, I've been working at the shipyard for, like, 10 years now. And I, you know, started out as a mechanic and, you know, worked my way up through a lot. Now I'm in full-on middle management, you know, like, wear, like, a button-up shirt to work. I mean, we're talking, like, a Hurley button-up. It's not like a Brooks Brothers thing or anything. But wear a button-up shirt to work and go to a lot of meetings and. Basically, I supervise supervisors, so I just make sure that people are, you know, doing the work right, treating their people right, you know.
That's fun.
Just all that stuff.
Do people in your job, do they think it's cool that you get to go, like, leave on weekends and go play these, like, big shows?
Luckily, yes. Because, I mean, like, they could be kind of jerks about it and be like, nope, you can't go. And I'd be like, what do I do?
But, that's awesome.
Yeah, but they think it's cool and they're very understanding and they get it. And we get a bunch of leave through work, so the fact that they can give me some time is, you know, it's pretty rad.
That's cool. And then Yuri works there too, no?
He does.
Yeah? Do you guys see each other a lot?
Not as much as we used to. So occasionally we'll end up, like, working on the same project. Like, the first summer we were both at the shipyard, I saw Yuri every day, so we were working on the same thing.
Oh.
But then, you know, I haven't seen him for a while. He's up in training now, so he doesn't leave the building much, and but for a while he was on the same thing I was on, like, this last year, and so I'd see him at work all the time.
That's fun. Oh, yeah. That's cool. Yeah, so I don't know. I think that's super I think it's really cool because it seems like Bremerton, like that's like the thing people do there, right? Like you work there, a lot of people.
Yeah. So you have it's that like, in your it's like the mine or the mill of our town. It's like just like, it's like the mine or the mill. Yeah, everyone works there.
That's cool. It, did people from your family work there when you were growing up at all?
Yeah, my dad did for 17 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Mike's dad worked there. Actually, Mike's dad worked there while I was still working. My dad retired from there right before I started, but Mike's dad was still working there, and I'd see him around all the time. Like, oh, hey, what's going on, Art? Yeah.
That's cute. That's fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so you're working on chips and you're playing shows. Do you have anything else fun you do, like on your downtime? Besides woodworking?
No, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, like I said, the woodworking, it takes up a lot of time. I've also been a... going hiking a bunch this last summer. I went out and went did a lot of hiking.
That's awesome. It's very cool.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool hikes out in the mountains and stuff over here.
I bet it's like probably super beautiful there too. If it's anything I've seen in the pictures.
It's very green and you know, you got all the mountains and you know the ocean. It's you got everything.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Fun. Okay, so I asked you to pick out a song or two that's your favorite that you want people to know about or hear. So. What are your songs?
Yeah, I mean, so I didn't catch the know about, so, but I mean, so the first one I'd say, no, that's fine. I mean, the first one I'd say, just as far as songs that I love and are just classic, U2, Where the Streets Have No Name.
Okay.
Just that song, just like, I mean, it's just, there's something magic going on in that song. I don't know what it is. It's audio crack. I mean, it's amazing. But I mean, a lot of people know that one. So the other one I was going to say was, yeah, it's by Peter Gabriel. The song's called Secret World. But yeah, but you have to get the one that's off of a live record. It's called Secret World Live.
Okay.
There's one on the actual version of the song's on record called Us.
Okay.
But the one that's on the live version from Secret World Live, incredible, incredible. Just like one of the songs where I was like, wow, I wish I could have written this. This is insane.
What do you love most about it?
It's so... it's just sweeping and it changes and it's got a cool groove through the whole thing and it kind of comes up and down and Peter Gabriel's got a crazy voice. It's so good too. It's just one of those things where you're like, man, that guy's got all the talent.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So U2 and Peter Gabriel. Okay. I'm going to add those to the playlist. That's awesome.
Nice.
I feel like I was supposed to ask you this earlier. Do you have like the newer MXPX stuff that's come out? I feel like you said there was a show that you or a song you love to play live, and my brain is dang it, off the new record.
So yeah, I mean definitely there's a song called Rolling Strong on the new record that
it's just really
fun to play live. It's one of the ones that just like it's got a bunch of backup vocals and like it's got a bunch of like, you know, just kind of big hits and you know feedback, and it's got a lot of fun stuff. And we got a little riff breakdown in the middle where Chris and I can just kind of do a little guitar work together, and it's fun.
I listened to the podcast the other day with the guys from, I think they're from the UK. My brain is not remembering.
Oh, Waste and Time?
Yeah, which is super. I loved hearing their accents, like talk about band. I think they were talking about Gasoline Heart. And I was like, oh, like, I never hear anybody from the UK talking about Gasoline Heart. That's really cute.
That's awesome.
But anyhow, and you were like saying how you love that song so much. And I was walking to the gym at the time, so I put it on and I listened to it on repeat. Like all the way, and I was just thinking, I need to ask Tom about this because it's so good. Like I'd already heard it, but like listening to it through your answer to that question,
right,
what you loved about it's most.
It's high energy and it's singing about us being in a band and touring around in the van and all that. And it's just the good old days, you know.
Also, you were talking earlier about how you came to the LA and you're riding around that convertible. And in that podcast, you talked about that's what, so the Kings of Hollywood or what?
Yeah, that song Kings of Hollywood on Before Leaving After, that's that summer of us rolling around in the in the convertible in LA.
That's so cool. I love those little, like, backstories. Yeah. I'm like, what's the meaning behind it? I'm always curious. I think I can figure it out in my brain, and I'm like, that's totally not at all what it was. But now when I hear that, I'll picture you guys riding around. That's fun. I love that. Cool. So where can we find you? On Instagram, probably the best place, right? Is that where?
That's my social media. I have a Twitter that I literally just use to put things from Instagram onto it. The thing I like about Twitter too is it's like the best instant news source out there. Like,
totally.
For like football, when like free agency happened in like a couple days, like a bunch of years ago, it was just right there. When the Boston Bomber guys were running from the cops in Boston,
yeah,
people were posting pictures like, dude just ran through my driveway, and like,
wow.
it was just crazy how instantaneous it was.
It's true. Do you, I know this is kind of a big question, but do you follow the president on there? Can you read his stuff at all?
No, I
can't do it.
I mean, you can read it because it's mostly in English, but no, I don't follow it just because I'm like, I don't need to get bummed out or spun out today, so I'm just going to kind of leave that one alone.
It's hard to, like, I can... like not follow him, but I feel like Twitter, like there's so many people that like talk about it, and I'm like, I feel like I don't have to follow him to know what he's tweeting about. It's just everywhere.
Oh, you're gonna get the greatest hits. It's gonna be on the news, and everyone's gonna be going off both sides about how it's the best thing ever and how it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh god, I know you and Mike talk a lot about politics. I was like, I feel like it's a safe question to ask you. It's not anything bizarre.
Nah.
That's fun. Cool. So after April, what are you guys gonna be up to?
More shows coming, things that have yet to be announced, but
fun.
We're not going anywhere.
Well, hopefully LA is in there so I can kind of
always head LA at least once a year. Yeah.
Very cool. Tom, thank you. Yeah. I've had a lot of fun chatting with you.
Yeah, it's good to catch up.
Yeah.
I had so much fun talking to Tom, and I'm so happy that I was able to get him on the podcast. And I've always loved MXPX, and I've always loved anything nostalgic from my youth. So just talking to him was really fun, and it also just got me super pumped to go listen to all my MXPX records again. So I think you should do that today as well. Please give Tom a follow on Instagram and Twitter, and be his friend, like all his stuff. Leave him cool comments. You can find him by just putting in his name, Tom Wisniewski. Also follow MXPX because, duh, they're amazing. So give them a follow. We added 3 songs to the podcast soundtrack, which are Secret World by Peter Gabriel, the live version, and Where the Streets Have No Name by U2, and Rolling Strong from MXPX. So check out the podcast soundtrack. You can get links to that by following me on Instagram. My name on there is at Christy G, and you can also go to my website, which is www.christyg.com. You can get those links. You can also read all those old interviews I did with Tom and Mike back in the day. Thank you guys so much for just listening, and I hope you share it with your friends. And also, if you leave me like a really fun like review, I'll totally give you a shout out in the next episode. So I'm just really about supporting your friends. So support your friends, even if it's not me. Go find a friend, support what they do, and make the world a better place via support. Also, I was talking about tattoos in this episode, and I mentioned that my tattoo guy moved to Salt Lake City. So if you're in the Salt Lake City area, and once this coronavirus thing has calmed down and we're all like going back out into the world again, totally go check out Yellow Rose Tattoo and ask for my friend Yanni Vera. He is one of the nicest people, and he is an amazing tattoo artist. Tell him I sent you because he's freaking rad. If you want to check him out, you can totally go to Instagram and find him by typing in Scrawny Yanni. I'll link all this stuff in the show notes. Don't worry. You don't have to remember it. But he's just really awesome and just an awesome human being. I don't know how else to really describe him. He's so talented also. So anyhow, in the end, I also want to say the world right now is kind of like upside down with this coronavirus. Please, please be safe and look after yourself. Look out for others around you. We are all in this together and we're going to get through this, guys. It's going to be okay. Please just take care of yourself. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will see you next episode. P.S. A special thanks to MXPX for providing the music for the podcast. They are the freaking coolest.